Our text for this morning comes from the reading from 2 Peter, especially these words. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, last Wednesday we considered what it's like to wait for Judgment Day. What do we as Christians do? What are we about as we wait for the return of Christ? Next week, we'll consider what eternity will be like for us. And this week, we consider that day when our Lord returns in glory as he has promised to do. What will that day be like? We get lots of images throughout Scripture: fire, the moon turning to blood, the heavens being rolled back. But if we're alive when our Lord returns, what will we actually see? What will we hear? What will we smell? What will we feel? How will it be? Have you ever tried to picture it in your mind? On more than one occasion, I've had a dream in which I believed Jesus was returning in the dream, and then I wake up somewhat disappointed. There's another time when people were waiting, 120 years to be exact. That's how long the people in Noah's time were given to repent and to return to their Lord. 120 years of warning before the floodwaters would come and cover the earth. Seems like a long time. Time to repent, to turn from their warring ways, to turn away from the violence and the bloodshed that filled the earth, to turn away from their worship of false gods and return to the worship of the true God. Now, no doubt, the world in those days before the flood was very different than the world we have now. Likely, the climate was temperate wherever you would go. Lush vegetation would be growing. And though people would have had to labor for their food since the fall, I imagine farming would have been very different than it is today, probably a lot easier. The people were living hundreds of years. For hundreds of years, they were strong. For hundreds of years, they were able to bear children. In some ways, life might have been easier. But there was violence and sin and wickedness and cruelty and worship of false gods. The world by Noah's time had been going on like this for centuries. Why would anything change now? That's what the people must have thought. And yet, there it is, this massive construction project, some fellow named Noah building a boat of some sort. News about Noah and his family building an ark must have traveled quite a distance in the 100 years it took him to build it. No doubt Noah would have been asked about it and would have testified to what God had told him was going to happen. Second Peter refers to Noah as a herald of righteousness. Yet people remained impenitent. Surely they scoffed at Noah and his ridiculous ark. Rain? We've never seen that. Water coming up out of the earth and flooding everything? Crazy talk. That doesn't happen. Scoffers, all of them. But then, time was up. God sealed up Noah and his family in the ark and the animals, and the heavens opened and water poured forth, and the earth opened and water burst out, and all the scoffers, all humanity, all the birds of the air, all the animals of the field perished, except those God preserved in the ark. Everything changed in the blink of an eye. Judgment Day came upon the people of the earth when they least expected it. But Noah and his family were saved. They had heeded the Lord's warning and were saved through the waters by God in the ark. Now, fast forward several thousand years to Peter. Peter is foretelling of another judgment day, the final one, when Christ returns to judge the entire earth. Everything we see will be no more. God will bring this world to a permanent end, this time through fire, and will remake the heavens and the earth. Judgment will occur, and Christ will judge the living and the dead. Believers, the sheep in our gospel reading, will enter into the presence of the Lord in eternal bliss, and unbelievers, the goats, to eternal damnation. And some scoffed at this prophecy of Peter and about these things. There are still scoffers today. But God graciously gives all a chance to repent. As the church continues to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God turns hearts back to him. There are still scoffers. There were scoffers in Noah's day, scoffers in Peter's day, scoffers in our day, those who ignore the evidence of the flood that at any time God can judge the world as he has already done. And the time is coming when the time for repentance will be over. People today must think, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. There are those today who simply follow their own evil desires, follow their eyes, their lusts, their wishes, wherever those things might lead them, and choose to not follow God, the God who is coming again, the God who is all of our judge. But it is not so with you. You have been called by God, set apart by him, so that you would no longer follow the desires of this world, the way of the flesh. Rather, you have had your heart set on the things of God in your baptism. And we wait in hope and expectation for the return of Christ. As Peter writes, but according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. As Noah, we cannot weather the storms of this world and our own sinfulness without God. We cannot resist being carried away by the scoffers and the lawless people without being anchored in God's word. We cannot combat all the voices of the false prophets, the false messiahs that dominate our world, unless we hear the voice of the true prophet, the true messiah, the true king who comes as a baby in Bethlehem, our Lord Jesus. As Peter encourages us, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So what will that day be like? It will be much like the day when the flood came on the earth, I imagine. There will be happy people, depressed people, rich people, poor people, free people, slaves, healthy people, sick people, just like always. It'll be like any other day at first. There will be scoffers, those who hear the message of the church and turn their nose up at her. Why should we repent? Things have been going on like this for a long time, and they will continue to do so. We will do whatever we want. Nothing's going to change. Where is your God anyway? Then, in an instant, everything will change. As Jesus says in Luke's gospel, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Our Lord Jesus will return, and we will see him, and all will know that he is truly God. The apparent slowness of God as he waits for sinners to repent will be ended. Judgment will come upon the earth. And for us, that day will be glorious as we just sang in our hymn, the final trumpet then shall sound, and all the earth be shaken, and all who rest beneath the ground shall from their sleep awaken. But all who live will in that hour, by God's almighty boundless power, be changed at his commanding. Noah and his family was saved through the waters in the ark, but they would have the struggle of rebuilding the earth that was now radically different from before, and there was still sin in it, because there was sin in Noah and his family. We are saved in the ark of the church through the waters of our baptism, and when Christ returns the second time, there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death. For according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Judgment day for us, we who trust in Christ, it's already taken place. It was done there, where you were buried and risen again with Christ in baptism. We are declared righteous by God through the blood of Jesus. We are his people now, and we are destined to live forever with him in eternity. The day of Christ's return will, for us, elicit more joy than we can possibly imagine, as when the bridegroom comes and receives his bride. It is what we are all waiting for. It is what we are all hoping for. It is what Christ's church longs for. It is why we pray, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.